Good morning. Today we have three scripture passages to get through. The first one is Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there were no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountain and on every high hill. They were scattered over the earth, and no one searched or looked for them." 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Go back to our study we've been talking about, gifts and callings. And as I've said, the gifts and callings that God gives to people for in leadership are something that sometimes we have, sometimes we don't. And they're not ours, they're God's. The one thing we all as Christians have is the calling to follow him. And whenever we hear the scripture and hear the word of God, the first thing we should not ask is, how does this apply to him? Because today, of course, we're going to be talking about pastors. And how many pastors do we have in this room? Two. And typically, would you call it two? So when we look at these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you can say, well, I'm not one of them, so I don't have to listen. Or maybe you might be tempted to say, oh, I can see where Charles is messing up. And there's a place for that. There's a time when leaders need to be corrected. But the thing is, these gifts and callings were there to help us grow. And here's the thing. You may not be a pastor, per se, like I am. But let me tell you something, there are always people in your life you are called to shepherd. You're called to be there for, to help. So though you may never have this role, God may never say, I wish you to go into a ministry like one of these. All of these ministries have attitudes, have actions that manifest themselves in each one of our lives as Christians. God calls all of us, in a sense, to be shepherds, to help. And when you think shepherd or pastor, and because those words are interchangeable, this is someone who's a guiding caregiver. We think, of course, of a shepherd being one that leads sheep. The shepherd is there to make sure the flock gets what it needs. Kind of like mom. What does mom do? She makes sure everybody gets what they need. This last week I've been figuring out how much my wife does. I thought I did a lot around the house. I found out I knew she did a lot. I just didn't realize how much she took care of. There are little things that I just didn't realize where she was shepherding. And we all have areas in life where we are called to be a shepherd, one to care or to make sure that others get what they need. But a pastor, if somebody's going to be a good pastor, they should demonstrate these things. They should be compassionate. How many have you ever gotten what you needed from somebody and they were not compassionate? You know, here, take it. You know, usually that's at work. You know, you go in. I still remember when I worked at Great Dane Trailers, we'd have to go over to the tool room and get our stuff, and we'd hand our little card and they'd go back. Sometimes they were polite. Oftentimes like, oh yeah. Go next. Yeah, they were not being shepherds. They were getting us what we needed, but they were not being shepherds. They were not compassionate. They were definitely not protected because they didn't care what happened to us. But if you're going to truly be a shepherd that God wants us to be, you need to be someone that's protective. You don't just have compassion, but you want to protect those that are under your care. Not being overprotective. We all have seen examples of that. But you need to be protective. Sometimes, especially as a parent, when you're acting like a shepherd, you have to tell your child, no, this is not good for you. A shepherd needs to be resourceful. You look around, it's like, okay, the sheep are eating this place pretty good. We need to move somewhere else. Where do we need to go? They need to be resourceful. They also need to be persuasive, to be able to say, hey, follow me. You need to go this way. But there are dangers for shepherds, though. And sometimes we don't always realize this. There are dangers that pastors face. One of them in the world is natural disasters. And I would have said before this year, pastors really don't deal with natural disasters. A certain tornado came through and reminded me, yes, we do. All of a sudden, we weren't just a church, we were a ministry center. For people to go out and help others. Shepherds have to worry about thieves. Those that would take the sheep. As a pastor, there are going to be times I'm going to see things and I'm going to say, hey, that's bad. That could steal you away. Now, I'm not worried as much about somebody saying, well, you know what? I love everybody over there, but I love the people over at the Compass, and I really like their worship service better, and I want to serve God faithfully, and I think I want to go there. Yeah, we're going to miss you. Do I think it's a bad choice? Of course I think it's a bad choice. I love Jason, but you know, I want you to stay here. But I know you're going to be served, you're going to be cared for, you're not going to be stolen by the true enemy. But if I see something where you're going to be stolen by the enemy to go in a way that's wrong, I'm going to try to step in there and say, hey, watch out. Which brings up the fact of other shepherds. Sometimes other shepherds that are out there aren't good. Thankfully, I think most of the ones around here that I've known and met, I feel pretty good about. Some of them I wouldn't agree totally with their doctrine, but they love the Lord and they're following Him, and I don't have a problem with them. But there are others that sometimes you got to watch out for. Thinking about a shepherd being kind of like a parent, sometimes don't you have to watch out for other parents? Don't answer that out loud. And don't point any fingers. Also, shepherds have to worry about beasts. Scripture says Satan comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We sang about that today. And the shepherd's job is to step in and try to stop that, to protect. We see David, a great example of a shepherd. The sheep were being attacked by a lion. And what does little old teenage David do? He goes after him. Really? This is a lion. He gets out his sling and kills the thing. If I tried that, you know, I would have ticked the thing off and I would have been lunch. But David knew what he was doing. He was prepared for those beasts. He had practiced. He had watched out. He knew what he needed to do for when those things came. And when they came, he dealt with them. But it means sometimes that for a shepherd, you're going to put yourself in danger. For shepherds, since they're out there in the fields, also one of the dangers we may not have thought of, especially in ancient times, and still somewhat today, is you had to worry about armies. You know, you're out there taking care of your fields, you look up and you're like, those don't look like our people. Those don't look like, in ancient times, those don't look like chariots we own. Those banners are not good. And armies are notorious for saying, hey, guess what? You might be one to give warning, so we wanted to eliminate you. And by the way, you've just delivered us lunch. So all of a sudden, as a shepherd, you've got to try to protect your sheep and protect the nation. There are dangers out there. But a true shepherd takes the risk and does what is right. And there are forces out there that seem like they're the armies of the world coming against us. And sometimes the right thing to do is just to give warning and get out of the way. Let's say they pass some sort of crazy law and all of a sudden we're outlawed somehow. We get out of the way. But we still do what God's called us to do. We still teach the word of God. We still are going to do what is right. And we'll lead. That's where we come back to the fact that we may have to be resourceful. Who knows? But there are forces out there that we're not expecting that can come against us that are too big for us. And we got to realize those things happen. But what does a shepherd use? Of course, we think of the Psalms 23. We think the rod and the staff, they comfort me. So we think of those. But one thing we may not think about is the shepherd's number one voice, number one tool is his voice or her voice. You can find these videos online, a shepherd calling their sheep. Someone will go out there and say, basically, sheep, 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 sheep. They're all. Somebody else going up, hey, hey, sheep, 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 sheep. All of a sudden the shepherd comes up and says, sheep, sheep. Sheep. And they're out there, they're running toward him. Jesus says, the sheep know my voice, because a shepherd's number one tool is their voice. Because it's the voice that has been there with them, that has trusted them, that had built a bond, that has led them in the past. And they have seen them take them in the right direction. It's the voice they can trust. So one of the best tools that you can have as a shepherd, as a leader, as someone that's being that caregiving leader, is someone who uses their voice wisely. There's also the staff. The staff is there to sort of give guidance. The sheep starts going the wrong way, they go around, whoop, nope, nope, not go that way. You need to get over this way. It helps guide when the voice alone isn't doing it. A staff is not meant to beat the sheep. It's meant to just touch it and say, this way. Or to put, if it's got the crook on it, to sort of gently pull it back. The rod and the sling. Say, how are they a comfort? Because they're not, you know, they're not being used against you if you're the sheep. They're being used against the enemy. We talked about David a little while ago, the perfect example of a shepherd. What did he do? He had that sling. When something came, and he could knock it out. That rod that is that thing that stops the enemy. It's actually, you might say, it's a tool of violence. But there's sometimes, as a shepherd, there's sometimes, I'll just be honest, as a parent even, you have to step in and say, no! Somebody comes along and messing with your kids, you're going to stand over there and say, would you please not beat up my kid? Yeah, right. I'm looking here at Tom, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't see Tom, if somebody's beating up his grandkid, they're going to say, would you please stop? I believe you'd lay hands on him, right? Not in prayer? Yeah, I agree. When our daughter was first born, we were having a special gathering at the church, and people said I was a little protective. But they had asked some of the people who normally sang in the choir to sit up in the choir, and I was stuck up in this choir area. There was no place to get in and out. And my wife was walking over there with our little daughter, and somebody was in the middle aisle, and they said, I can see him. And my wife was like, yes. And so she just grabbed her and walked off with her. I was up here and saw that, and I saw the look of my wife's face that didn't expect this. And all of a sudden, church is getting ready to start. The pastor's getting ready to stand up there. And I'm up there on the edge trying to figure out how I can get over these people to get out there, that person. Everybody in the church found it was funny. I didn't even realize what I was doing. I was trying to figure out, but the person stopped, thankfully, and showed the baby to their dad. And so it was okay. And my wife got over there in time. But I'm standing up there. I was not going to lay hands on this lady nicely. I was going to protect my baby. And if she hit the door, I was going to bulldoze through everybody in that choir. Because sometimes the tool of a shepherd says you've got to stop an enemy. You've got to be a little rough. Now, I don't think pastors should go out and beat up other pastors or other people. But there's a time where you've got to stand up and sound a little gruff, maybe a lot gruff. Because when there's danger, you need to protect those you are called to protect. But of course, as there are good shepherds, there's also bad shepherds. Bad shepherds, as with bad parents, they're manipulative. It's all about getting what I want. They're selfish. The good shepherd is willing to sacrifice, to lay down his life, to put themselves in danger to protect their sheep, protect what they're called to protect. The bad pastor, the bad shepherd says, that's a lion. Let's see. I could die. You know, one sheep is okay. I'll give one up, sheep. Yep, we'll let it take that one. It was a little old anyway, so it's okay. Yep, I'm not going to worry about it because looking out for me. Bad shepherds steal. They steal sheep. They steal resources. And right along there with being selfish, they're cowardly. They don't want to take a chance. They don't want to point out what may be a problem or may be an issue because they're afraid. A bad shepherd will not sometimes say what is needed to be said because they're afraid of upsetting people. So what do pastors need? Good pastors. They need encouragement. They need to let you know you're doing a good job. Not to build up the ego, but sometimes, be honest. You that are parents, because I think parenting is a lot like shepherding, don't you appreciate when your kids come up to you occasionally and say, I love you, thank you for all you did for me? Yeah, it makes you feel good. Yeah. Now, if they're doing it all the time, right before they're asking for something, now we're getting suspicious. But out of the blue, occasionally, that's good. They deserve a proper wage. Here's the problem. Sometimes that if a pastor isn't getting what they need, there's this conflict. I'm not looking for a wage increase or any extra money. But I'm just telling you, this is part of it. Because let me tell you something. If you don't take care of the pastor, then they've got to worry about how they're going to take care of their family. There are other things going on in their lives, and they can't give the care they need to the sheep. I read one time about a deacon's prayer. God, you keep the pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. I'm thankful I don't have any deacons like that in this church. Shepherds need time to self-care. Because here's the thing, if you're not in good shape, you can't take care of others. Right now, my wife cannot help take care of our daughter. Why? She's got to take care of herself. And she is loving it. No, she's not. She's stuck in the back room, and there's an uncomfortable chair in there and a bed. And yeah, it's not 8x10, but I'll tell you what, it probably feels like an 8x10 cell right now. After, what has she been there? 12 days in there? She's getting a little tired of that. But it's the self-care. She needs this. And sometimes pastors, they need that self-care. To use that are parents. Sometimes you need to take care of yourself because if you don't, you can't take care of those you love. Finally, pastors, shepherds need humility and accountability. If you've got a big head, you're a bad pastor. And you need accountability in your life. I'm thankful in the Global Methodist Church, we are trying to set up a way that our pastors are keeping in touch with each other, to talk with each other, to hold each other accountable. How are you doing? What's going on? Why? Because we need that. Because if you're out there by yourself and things are tough, it's easy to get sloppy. It's easy to let things go. And how many of you know that if you let things go long enough, something finally breaks? Along with that, we have something that's called elders in the Bible. It's not one of the five gifts that we don't really talk about, but it's part and part. The reason I bring it up with this today is in the Global Methodist Church, we expect our pastors to eventually, if they aren't now, to become elders. Become ordained elders. Elders are those legal counselors. Moses set up a group of 70. Jesus sent out 70. The Sanhedrin were supposed to be that legal counsel to say, in religious matters, here's how we're supposed to act. And in John chapter, or John 2 and 3, 2nd, 3rd John, I should say, John speaks of himself as being John the Elder. So we want not just our pastors to be shepherds, we also want them to be elders. People that know the Bible, know the law. They help direct the church. The elder is a position in the Bible. You'll find that they do these things. They help direct the church. They pass judgment. They're not being judgmental. But they're saying, somebody says, hey, pastor, what does the Bible say about being drunk? I can tell you right now, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You got an alcohol problem? You need to quit. What does the Bible say about having blue hair? Nothing. Some of you, it may look good. I don't know because I don't have hair. But the Bible doesn't talk about that. So I can tell you, you know, if it's not going to offend your neighbor or cause someone to stumble, then I hear it's not good for your hair, but that's a whole other issue. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. An elder is supposed to help give that and let people know what's going on with the Bible. Elders need to have experience and knowledge. They need to have discernment. They need to be a legalist. Not in the sense that your dress isn't long enough or your hair is too short. No, legal in the sense of like you want a good cop to be. Knowing that, hey, you're doing right or you're doing wrong. Or your lawyer, if you have to have one. You want them to be a legalist. Know what the law is. Why? So they can do right. And do it the right way. But also you want them to be impartial. They are not here to make favorites. I went to a church one time. The district superintendent asked me to come out and meet the church. So I met the church. When I walked out the door, I told my wife, it'll be to take a burning bush, a voice from God, and an earthquake before I take this church. It was that bad. But one of the things that really got my attention was the treasurer met me on the way out and says, we want to make sure the pastor doesn't offend the rich givers. Okay. No, I'm going to preach the word of God. If it offends you, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm not here to be partial. But of course, elders, as pastors, can be wrong. They can be domineering. My way or the highway. They can be partial or prejudiced. Again, this is not what we want to be. Unwilling to be taught. That's dangerous because sometimes when you start getting a little bit of knowledge, you start thinking you know it all. This past week, I was talking to my daughter, and we were talking about a subject, and as we were getting into it a little more, I was like, you know what? I've been off on this. I've not taught that exactly right. And so my 22-year daughter, who doesn't have a Bible degree, straightened me out on some of my Bible. And I'm okay with that. Why? Because I need to be willing to be taught. And as though we want them to be, in one sense, justice and have stand for justice, what is right or wrong, we don't want them to be judgmental. So how do you support an elder? Well, if you've got somebody ahead of his advice, you should listen to him. Like if you hire a lawyer, you should probably listen to them because they might know what they're talking about them. Apply what they said. Yeah, the lawyer said we need to get a permit, but I thought, who needs to do that? No, you probably should do what they say. Again, support them. Scripture says about elders, It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19, it says, do not accept an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. This is not a thing saying an elder cannot, or a pastor cannot, be accused of doing something wrong. If someone is doing something wrong, it needs to be addressed. But here's the truth. Anytime anybody is in leadership, somebody will make accusations. We need to see if it's true or not and respond accordingly. Scripture was saying we don't do unless there's two or three witnesses, unless we know something has happened. But on the flip side of this, elders are not somebody who's new on the job. They've had experience. They've proven themselves. If there is an accusation, if something is really happening, don't care who it is, be a bishop, a pastor, a deacon, a board member, things need to be dealt with. We don't sweep things under the rug. We all know the history of what has happened in the church when they've done that in the past. We're not going to do that. Here again, the elder, someone who's demonstrated that faithfulness. They are not to be accused lightly, but they can be accused if they are really doing something wrong. So what is this? How does this apply to us? As I've been saying this whole time, live into the calling that God has placed on your life. Use the gift God has given you. As we've seen here today, when we talk about shepherd and pastor, it's not just talking about pastor up here. Many of you are shepherds even now. You're supposed to be those caregiving people, directing the lives of those under you. So live out that gift and encourage those around you who are demonstrating those gifts. Dear Father, I ask now that, Father, as I look out, I know there are many here, though they may not be a pastor as in the sense that I am, as front of people, Lord, many there are here that are shepherds. And I ask you, God, to let them shepherd well. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. And Father, now I ask that you be with each one as they leave this place today. May they all listen to the Good Shepherd and show your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless and go with God. Thank you.